Okay, Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. The story of your life. We've been singing about the story of Jesus' life this morning. What will be the story of our lives? We're going to look at the Apostle Paul's life this morning, Lord willing. Galatians chapter 1, and shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to gather together in your name. And Lord, we do acknowledge your presence with us. I pray that you would meet the need of each and every one of our hearts here today, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. Galatians 1:15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. As I mentioned, this is the story of Paul's life. What will be the story of our lives? Well, we have some things in common with the Apostle Paul. You notice in verses 15 through 17, it says there in verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. You know, the first thing we're looking at here is Paul's calling was alone. God separated him from his mother's womb, and we talked about that. Just the miracles that happen when a baby is separated from the mother's womb. It truly is miraculous. And then it's miraculous what God has in store for each of our lives. And so God called Paul alone. In fact, you know, from the foundation of the world, God had a plan for your life and for mine. You know, I find in life we need a purpose, don't we? We need a purpose for being alive. We need to know that there's a purpose for our lives. Sometimes people maybe only live for the weekend. You know, they used to say, have a good one. Well, it seems like from my memory that started with the weekend. Have a good weekend. And it's a shame, isn't it, when people don't feel a purpose in life other than just the weekend. And it's wonderful on the weekend. I mean, we can gather together and worship the Lord. Don't get me wrong. So it's wonderful. But we should have a purpose every day in our lives. And sometimes people do their job, but they don't do it very well because they don't enjoy their job. And so that's just kind of monotonous, going through the motions and just feeling without purpose and only living for things. And as I said, the weekend. But God had a purpose for each of us before the foundation of the world, before he created the world. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1, the very next book in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 1. This tells us that God chose us before the foundation of the world. In other words, when God was creating the heaven and the earth, he had us in mind. Now, we would be down in history a good ways, but he had us in mind. Don't let anyone ever tell you that you're worthless, or that you're not worth anything, that you're good for nothing. You know what? Because we're here, God has a value for us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us what? Accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through what? His blood. The what? Forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So verse 4 said he's chosen us before the foundation of the world. God loves us. He had a plan for us. When he was creating the heavens and the stars and the moon and the sun and this earth and the mountains and the seas and the valleys, the trees, the plants, he had a purpose for us. And so, you know, sometimes in life we just feel like just another number. And if you were brave enough to venture out on Black Friday, that's all you were, is another number. I heard about some long lines on that day, but they're important to God. In verse 5, it mentions about the adoption of children. God loves us. He chose us. And how do we get accepted with him, verse 6? Well, verse 7, that redemption is through his blood. It's the forgiveness of sins. You know, we live in a world of extreme selfishness, don't we? Extreme selfishness. It's hard to keep ourselves separated from that. You know, it's real easy in the flesh just to get in that same rut if we're not careful, that same mentality. Notice with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, a little further back there. We live in a world of extreme selfishness. And you know, the Bible foretold that it would be like that in the end times. Extremely selfish. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, this know also that in what? The last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of what? Their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, what? Turn away. So, relationships don't mean a lot in this day and age, do they? They just don't mean a lot. All that seems to matter is self. That's all that matters today. It's the selfie generation. I mean, I guess that's a new word, selfie. People take pictures of themselves, and they call that selfies. You know, they post them online, Twitter, whatever they're on. Who would have ever thought that there would be cameras with lenses not only pointing forward, but backward? You stop and think of that. Did you ever think you'd see the day when we are so self-centered that we need a camera facing back as well as forward? Well, there's a lot of, and I've never seen a big fancy camera with lenses both ways, but there's all kinds of little phones and iPads with cameras both ways. Who would have ever thought, well, this is the selfie generation. This is the selfish generation. I've read of all kinds of mishaps that people have had while taking selfie pictures. All kinds of horrible things have happened to them. But it's a selfish generation. But whatever happened to commitments? Whatever happened to integrity and just helping other people? Whatever happened to it? We are living in such a selfish day. You know, there is no relationship upon earth that is absolutely secure, except one, and that is salvation. That's the only relationship upon earth that is absolutely unchangeable and secure, and that is our salvation. Notice some verses with me describing it. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. The Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will what? Never leave thee, nor what? Forsake thee. Isn't that a wonderful promise? God will never leave us nor forsake us. I was looking at an ad this week for tools, and one of you men have a set of tools. It's this brand I was looking at. It was on sale, and I read the reviews of people that had bought this brand, and they said, more than one said, I used to have Craftsman tools, but now I switch to this. I used to have Craftsman tools, and now I switch to this. And I've found the same frustration with some of the tools that I've gotten. And so, you know, Craftsman tools, I probably still are. They say warranted forever. But there is a building in Chicago called the Sears Tower that's not owned by Sears anymore. They had financial woes. So I think they still guarantee their tools. But you know what? There's no guarantee that Sears is going to be around forever. There's no guarantee. But there is one guarantee that God is going to be around forever. And he promises here, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a promise. And he has the wherewithal to back that up. Notice with me in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. A relationship that can never be taken away. In John chapter 6, in verse 37, John 6, 37, the Bible says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will what? In no wise cast out. God promises that. He will never cast us out. You know, I was just looking for something this week, and I couldn't find it. You know why? Because I cast it out. You know, that's the problem. You know, things pile up, and finally you say, oh, I'm going to get rid of this and get rid of that, and then it never fails down the road. You look for that thing. Well, that happened to me this week. But the Lord says, I will never cast you out. What a promise. Notice in Psalm 37, Psalm chapter 37, Psalm 37, we have God's word on it. It's in writing. He will never cast us out. He will never leave us nor forsake us. In Psalm 37, verse 28. Psalm 37, 28. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are what? Preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The Lord will never forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. Well, what is a saint? According to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, a saint is one who is sanctified. Okay? As it is, when you start looking up definitions, you have to keep going. Okay, what does it mean to be sanctified? Well, sanctify, according to the same dictionary, means to cleanse, to purify, to make holy. To cleanse, to purify, to make holy. So a saint is one who is sanctified. Sanctify means to cleanse, to purify, to make holy. So the question is how do we become saints? How do we become purified, cleansed from our sin? That's the question before us. Well, notice Psalm chapter 50. Psalm chapter 50. And verse 5, we find that answer. How do we become a saint? Well, it's not because the Pope or some priest or someone else, puts our name in, to become a saint. Well, that has nothing to do with it. Psalm 50, verse 5. Psalm 50, verse 5. Gather what? My saints together unto me. Those that have made, what? A covenant with me, what? By sacrifice. So let's read that again. Verse 5, gather my saints together unto me. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. We become saints by making a covenant with God. Okay, well, here we go again. What's a covenant? It's an agreement. It's something binding. It's like a contract. So what about this sacrifice? How do we make an agreement with God? How does he make an agreement with us? Something that's binding that can't be nullified. Well, what about this sacrifice? Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Not just any sacrifice will do. We're not talking about, you know, giving up chocolate for the holidays. You know, that might be a sacrifice for some people. Well, I'm sorry, but that sacrifice won't do. You know, we're not talking about whatever sacrifice might come to your mind. That's not the sacrifice in mind. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through what? His blood. Even what? The forgiveness of sins. That's the covenant. That's the agreement right there we're talking about. It's redemption through his blood. That's why Jesus came. You know, this time of the year we think about his coming as a baby in Bethlehem. But why did he come? He came to give his life a ransom for our sins. That's why he came. And that's the covenant we need to make with him in regard to his blood and forgiveness of sins. This remember we talked about it, we just read a verse just a bit ago about the adoption of being adopted by God, becoming his children. Notice in Romans chapter 8, this special sacrifice of Jesus on the cross causes us to become, when we receive him, causes us to become his children in line for an inheritance from God. In Romans 8. Now, I don't know if you have a rich uncle. When I was a boy, they always used to tease people about, well, do you have a rich uncle somewhere, you know, that could do this or that for you? Well, I never had a rich uncle. But my Father in heaven is very wealthy. Amen. Romans 8 and verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are who? The children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs. So we're talking about being in the will. Heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So we become heirs of God when we are his children. Then notice in Titus chapter 3, more about this matter of becoming God's children. How do we make this covenant with God? How do we make this agreement with God, whereby he will never leave us, nor forsake us, nor cast us out? How do we become a saint? How do we become sanctified? How do we become purified, forgiven, and cleansed? It's through his blood, his death on the cross. In Titus 3 and verse 3. Titus 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes what? Foolish. And what? Disobedient. And what? Deceived. Serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by what? Works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he what? Saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through who? Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made what? Heirs. There it is again. How do you get in God's will? How do you get that agreement with him that'll never break? It's through the Savior, Jesus Christ. according to the hope of eternal life. So the question is this morning, have you made that covenant with God? Have you made that agreement with God? Have you come to Him by faith, trusting in His shed blood to cleanse you? It's, as I said, a church cannot make you a saint. Only God can do that. And it comes through being purified through Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross for us. And along that line, let's look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. You know, in life, you may be in a will, and then you may be out of a will. You never know. People change their mind. But with God, we have that covenant with God through Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, and verse 19. And what's the first word of Acts 3:19? Repent. What does repent mean? It says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. What does it mean to repent? Well, it does not mean to reform ourselves, because we can't do that. We can try to clean up things, you know. We're not very far from the new year, if the Lord tarries is coming, and people make all kinds of New Year's resolutions. Well, I'm going to try not to do this year, that, or whatever. And sometimes they're successful and sometimes they're not. Repentance is not reformation. Repentance is not cleaning up ourselves. Repentance is a change of direction. Now, that's something we can do. You know, in the New Testament, it's filled with examples of people who were demon-possessed, but who turned and came to Christ. In their own strength, they couldn't overpower the demon. They couldn't do that. But you know, there's one thing that Satan cannot do. Satan can't stop you from turning to Christ. He can't stop you. He may control your flesh, but if you come to that point where you want to turn to God, He cannot stop you. That's what repentance means. Verse 19, repent. Turn. Turn to God. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be what? Blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Don't you wish that some things in your life could just be blotted out? I've done some dumb things in my life, and I wish those could just be blotted out from people's memory. But we don't have the power to do that. But God has the power to blot out our sins, to blot them out, to forgive us. And it goes on, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Just think about those things that we have done, we're ashamed of, and you know what? God blots out those sins when we come to Him through Jesus' blood. And isn't that a time of refreshing? Just those burdens are lifted. You know, people walk around with heavy burdens, heavy loads of guilt for things they have done, that if they would turn to God, He could lift. People might not forget, but you know, God forgives. God forgives. And notice in Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, and verse 28, Matthew 11, 28. What's the first three words? Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know, there's a lot of people that slander the Lord Jesus Christ. They not only use His name in vain, which is wrong, they use His name as a swear word. In fact, most of the time, that's the only way you'll hear His name used, is as a swear word. But they're slandering Him and His integrity. It says here, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what? Rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's a lot of people that say, oh, don't come to Jesus Christ because Your life will be miserable. You won't be able to do this and that. And, you know, you'll be under bondage. You know what? It's not that way at all. That's the devil's lie. These verses here are true. He's meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. You know what? When we trust him, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. It's a great rest through him. So the point is, like in verse 28, it says, come unto me. And that's repentance, is turn. Notice in John chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 1. We can have that secure relationship. He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. How do we get that relationship? John 1, verse 12. John 1, 12. But as many as what? Received him, to them gave he what? Power to become who? The sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So it's not self-reformation, it's repentance, it's turning. Turn to him, and he will give the power. Say, if you have that desire to turn to him, Satan cannot stop you. Just like the demon-possessed people in the scripture that came to Jesus Christ, Satan could not stop them. Okay, when would you like to have that secure relationship? Well, you know what? None of us know if we have tomorrow, do we? We don't. Today's the day. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We should take care of that today. But you know what? We are so good at procrastinating. We're so good at waiting. We see something that needs to be tended to. Oh, I'll do that later. Something else, I'll do that later. Well, a week or a month or a year down the road, guess what? That same thing is still going to be undone. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, when? Now is the accepted time. Behold, when? Now is the day of salvation. Why? Because none of us know. We do not know if we have another day. Notice in Romans chapter 10, it lays out very clearly what we need to do as we turn, as we repent and turn toward Christ. Here is what we need to believe and do and say from our hearts. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe, where? In thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall what? Not be ashamed. You know, are we ashamed of our loved ones? Of course not. Why would we ever be ashamed of Christ? Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Shall be saved. As we've been talking about, that's what it means to be a saint, is that we've been purified and cleansed from our sins. And then we need to walk in that. You know, when God calls us to salvation, it's a decision we can't make for anyone else. Now, we as parents, we would love to make that decision for our children, but we can't. It's a decision they must make. Our friends may want us to make that decision, but they can't make it for us. Our brothers and sisters, the bottom line is that salvation is a decision we have to make personally. No one else can make that decision for us. Now, some people, and that's why we share the gospel with others, that they might have the chance to be saved. Now, some people, are going to mock. Some people, if you share the gospel with them, are going to think you're crazy. Speaking of Paul, let's go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. The Apostle Paul was giving the gospel to two very important men. One accused him of being crazy. The other was almost persuaded to be a Christian. In Acts 26:19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should what? Repent and turn to God and what? Do works meet for repentance. You see, if we're sincere, it should change our lives. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to transform our lives. Verse 21. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should what? Suffer. He did that on the cross. And that he should be the first that should what? Rise from the dead. And the reason that is important, because he gave his blood for our sins. When he rose again from the grave, it proved that his payment was enough. His blood, his pure precious blood, was enough to pay for the sins of the whole world. And it goes on, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art what? Beside thyself. Much learning doth what? Make thee mad. He's not talking about mad in the sense of being angry, but mad in the sense of craziness. Verse 25. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of what? Truth and soberness. So Festus rejects two men. He gives the gospel, repent and turn to God. Festus says, Paul, much learning doth make thee mad. You've been studying these books too much. But verse 26, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. You know what? This message which we are preaching and looking at in the Bible, this is not just being done in a corner of Greenville, Michigan this morning. This is not just something little done in a corner. This is a message that's going around the world. So he's telling the king, this wasn't done in a corner. Verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Paul was trying to, help him. King Agrippa, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sin, King Agrippa? I know you do. I know you do. Paul tried to help him as much as he could, but you know what? Paul couldn't make that decision for King Agrippa. Just like none of us can make the decision for anyone else. Nor can anyone make this decision for us. This is a decision that each one of us has to make alone in our hearts. Now, it's not that you can't make the decision before other people, but it's a decision that you alone can make. Verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, what? Almost thou persuadest me to be what? A Christian. Verse 29, and Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Paul's desire is that people be saved. And I pray that's our desire as well. We thank the Lord for these that have written in this week, telling us they got saved. But the fact of the matter is, they had to make that decision. We could, by God's grace, we got the gospel to them, but we couldn't make the decision for them. Think of all the others that received the gospel this week that are either like Festus saying, that Christian stuff is crazy. There's some people like that. And then there's other people that, you know, down deep, they know it's the truth that Christ did die for our sins and that we need to turn from our sin to him and he will cleanse us and save us. But many in that group say, you almost persuaded me. Almost. In other words, they're putting it off. They're putting it off. And I pray today that you would not be in that group today. I pray today that you have repented and have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and from your heart have asked him to save you. And if you have done that, you have a covenant with God. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He preserves his saints. He preserves those who have come to him through the blood of Jesus Christ. He preserves those whom he has purified, cleansed from their sin. And this morning, I pray that that would be true of you. And if it's not, if you have some questions, we're going to sing in just a moment. We invite you to come as we sing, if we can help you from God's word, to make that decision today. Remember, as we saw in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. As one of our families came in this morning, they had seen an accident out there. You know what? That could easily be one of us on the way home. There's no guarantee we're going to make it back here tonight. No guarantee at all. There's no guarantee we're going to make it home this afternoon. But we can have a guarantee that we're going to make it to our eternal home with Christ. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. And Father, I pray that you would help each of us to realize the importance of this message, that we, each of us individually, must make this decision alone. No one else can make it for us. We can pray for others to make this decision, but we can't make it for them. And I pray, Father, if there are any here this morning who have not yet repented, have not yet turned from sin to you for cleansing, and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, I pray today would be their day of salvation. Not later today, but now, not knowing whether we're even going to make it home. Have your way in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.